the OTB Podcast Network.
Now let's talk about the Republic of Ireland, beaten 1-0 twice in two friendlies at the weekend. Vera Powell's team disappointed with the results, but she certainly seemed relatively upbeat about the quality of the performances. Kathleen McNamee of ESPN is with us this morning to talk to us about this. Kathleen, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
I'm good. Morning. How are you?
So Denmark beat us 1-0 and Belgium beat us 1-0. Are these two results similar? Are these two teams both at a fairly similar standard, or should we be disappointed more with one than the other? What's your general takeaway from the two games?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, you guys had me on when these fixtures were announced, and I said, you know, if we came away with these two games with not conceding all that much, showing a good performance, getting a few players on the team, it would be a good showing for us. But after having actually watched the games, I kind of wish I'd asked for more, because that's exactly what we came out with. But I don't know, both performances to me just show that we are capable of better, considering the opposition we were facing. Like, I think they're 14th and 17th respectively, and like a much higher standard than we are. But we had the opportunity to actually, especially with the last game, we had an opportunity to get a draw, and it would have been really nice to have got a few goals and actually shown what we were capable of. I think, again, we've seen the same issues cropping up with these games. You know, we concede really early. We've conceded in the first like 25 minutes for the last five games in a row, which is just far too early, and then settled into the game, but then not been able to get anyone, either not get the ball up enough or not create enough chances, and just unfortunately haven't been able to get that goal. So while there were positive signs, I think there are definitely several things for Vera Powell to go away with and work on.
Did she pick relatively similar teams or totally different teams for the two games?
Different teams. I think it was very much her trying to see who she had and what they could do, especially if you look at like the goalkeeper position. We had Grace Maloney in the first game and then Courtney Brosnan in the second game. And I think most people who watch the Irish women's team will say that Grace Maloney is our number one. She's proven that, even if the goal she conceded was quite unfortunate. She is, like, she's performing incredibly in the WSL at the moment. She deserves that time. And I was quite surprised that Vera Powell went with Courtney Brosnan in the second game. I thought, at the very least, like, start Grace Maloney, give her some time. She hasn't been in the number one position all that long. She hasn't had the opportunity to kind of, you know, build up that relationship with her defence. So I think she was very much seeing who she had. You look at players like Heather Payne. In the last game, she was substituted on 67 minutes and she was playing excellently. She got one woman of the match. I don't think she would have been substituted if that was a actual competitive game. So for me, these matches were Vera Powell kind of testing out her squad, testing out players, seeing how they managed in those kind of big moments against big teams. And to be fair, they all performed very well. It was like, it was an impressive display defensively, but I think attacking, we need a lot more. And maybe that's where you start looking at someone like Katie McCabe, rather than playing her so far back, you start bringing her forward rather than five at the back. You know, you give Katie more space to go ahead, because constantly it looks like we're waiting for her to pull up a big moment rather than actually having someone in our attack who's going to score the goals for us.
So where does Katie McCabe play at the moment in Vera Powell's system if she sticks to this system?
So at the moment, Vera is playing five at the back, and Katie is very much doing her like similar role to what she does at Arsenal, her wing back role. But I think that there's a lot of opportunity for her to go forward rather than playing so defensively. And you saw that much more in the second half of both games, where rather than being so conservative in our play, we were like definitely giving more opportunities to the other side to score, but like we're much stronger in defense than we are in attack. So I think we are actually able to give up Katie in that position, because there's a lot of other players that can step in there who are very experienced and like let her get forward, let her try and score those goals, rather than being every time we get a corner or a free kick being like, oh, this is Katie McCabe territory, actually giving her the opportunity to create those moments like from play rather than from a set piece.
So player in midfield or player as a number 10?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that is interesting, because we did want to ask you about, so Rhianna Jarrett obviously up top. Emma was talking to us about Anya Gorman, who never seems to play up front for Ireland but is obviously banging in the goals in the WNL. Is there no consideration? Is it even a talking point about potentially Anya Gorman playing a different role for the national team?
I don't, like, from what I have seen anyways, I don't think there is. I think we possibly have stronger people in attack at the moment in the team, such as Katie McCabe. You mentioned like Rhianna Jarrett, again, a really good person going forward, but I feel that we create so few chances that she doesn't have the power that's necessarily needed to get those goals. So when you have someone like Katie McCabe, who is playing at such an elite level, who has an incredible power. I mean, we've all seen her free kicks. We've seen her goals. They're amazing. She seems to ricochet a ball off the crossbar as well in most games as well. Just need to dip down an inch or two and it'll be in the net. I think those are the sort of players that we need up front in those positions, rather than having the ones who are not entirely sure if they can perform at that elite level against the likes of Denmark and Belgium, who are so much further ahead of us. And again, it's been said a lot as well in the last couple of days that this isn't maybe necessarily the sort of teams that we need to be measuring ourselves against. We need to be measuring ourselves against the Ukrainians of the world. But at the same time, we played both those sides and we brought it to them. Like, I was quite surprised. I thought we would have lost by 2 or 3 goals in both, but we didn't. But then the last game reached a little John's. If her shot had just dipped down a tiny bit lower, we probably would have got a draw, which would have been an incredible result for us.
Okay, so it sounds like overall you're quite positive about where we are at the moment.
Yeah, I think these games showed where we need to improve for the World Cup qualifiers, and it also showed where we're quite strong. You know, there's a lot of really good talent coming through that team. I think we need to utilize some of our best players better. You know, someone like Denise O'Sullivan, I don't think we saw the best of her in those two games. Normally, she is very much that pinnacle person for us in midfield. And between like her just being picked out by defenses as someone to concentrate on, and also the fact that like Vera Pauw played that 5 at the back, I don't think we got the best out of her. But I also think that going forward, it seems to be that Vera Pauw has a very clear trajectory of where she wants to bring this team, and it seems very positive in the camp. So hopefully there is good things to come for this side.
Kathleen, you mentioned Heather Payne and you mentioned Rhianna Jarrett, and I guess the lack of goals is definitely something that people are a little bit worried about at the moment, albeit against top opposition. But maybe someone like Kyra Caruso, you know, there's a lot of excitement about her at the moment in the Danish club game, and I know she's fairly free scoring at club level. And I read a great interview with her last month where she's talking about her, you know, being happy that her grandmother kept all of her original birth certs so that she could actually line out for Ireland. So a really interesting backstory, Kyra Caruso. But maybe tell us a little bit about her and the talent that she is. I know it was her first start, I think, in Tala last week.
Yeah, she was great. And again, I think that's someone that Vera Pauw will really look to utilize. And I think the fact that she got that first start in the last like game, that shows that these are the sort of players that Vera Pauw wants to bring through. She wants to give the opportunity. I thought she looked good. She looked a little bit lost at times, but again, that's not totally surprising, all things considered. This is the first time that, you know, she got her first start coming into this team, playing against like top opposition. But someone that I think, as time goes on, as Vera has more opportunity to bring these girls into camp, bring them through the like size, bring them through their paces, she is definitely the sort of player that I think could be really, really important for us in the World Cup qualification.
Kathleen, just on some quotes from Vera Pauw last week, or I think it was before the two games, but she was talking about the likelihood of an expanded Women's Champions League, and, you know, saying that FIFA and UEFA are pushing more time for club football, meaning these international windows that we normally have in January and May look to be gone. So 6 international games for development now gone for Vera Pauw. And she was making the point that, you know, this isn't a problem for the top tier nations because most of their players play in the Champions League anyway. But how impactful a decision could that be for the kind of middle ranked teams? I know Ireland are ranked, I think, 32nd. So this could be a bit of a problem for Vera Pauw.
Yeah, it definitely could. And it was something that actually came up in the last international window. Some of the Irish players, I know Grace Maloney was kind of talking about the fact that Ireland didn't have games and how frustrated they were about that because it didn't give them the opportunity to, you know, come together, build that sort of relationship with Vera Pauw and within the team. So I think it is really unfortunate, especially considering the fact that we're trying to bridge that gap between the players that we do have in, say, the WSL and like the US collegiate system, and also the playing in like the broader European system and the Women's National League. I think for those smaller teams, it's going to be much, much harder. It's not that you have multiple, you're not like in England where you have like half the Manchester City squad also playing with the Lionesses. So I think they're going to have to try and work something out. They're going to have to try and think about how they can like bring these players into those moments. The fact that maybe as many of the Irish teams aren't playing in those big events, is there more of a possibility to kind of bring smaller groups together? Maybe even if it's just like a couple of the Women's National League players and a couple of the players in England at different times, that's going to be something that Vera Powell has to work out. But also, I'm not massively worried in the sense that I think if you look at Vera Powell's track record, she is very much the sort of manager that is up for innovation, is up for kind of doing things that are slightly off books. So I think if anyone is going to handle that well, it will be her.
Kathleen, just to change tack slightly, and I know I saw you were tweeting about it last night as well, but this US women's national team equal pay, I guess, row that keeps seeming to rumble on. It's a dispute over equal pay, but there was a statement from US Soccer yesterday that said they are, quote, 100% committed to equal pay. But then the players themselves, via a US WNT spokesperson, said they've called that another misleading statement. What's the latest, for people who maybe haven't been following this story, what's the latest with everything that's going on over there?
Yeah, so last year, a judge found against the US Women's National Team on their claims for equal pay. They said that because they had agreed on a collective bargaining agreement, then they were kind of sorted on all that. Just yesterday, as you brought up, the US Women's National Team did have a partial settlement found in their favor where it was related to working conditions. So it was saying that, you know, in terms of hotels, flights, staffing, all that sort of stuff, that the US Women's National Team had to have equal services to the US Men's National Team. And by giving that settlement, the judge actually opened it up so that they can now appeal for their equal pay case. So that team are now looking to go back to that judgment that was delivered last year against them and appeal the fact that the judge said, well, you have agreed for a certain amount of money, so that's the money you get. It's interesting because some of the things that are brought up in the US Women's National Team cases, things like World Cup money, the fact that there is an equal pay there, but like it's complicated because US soccer don't necessarily control the prize money that FIFA gives or like the CONCACAF money that they get through World Cup qualifying. So it'll be interesting to see where they actually go from here. But I do think in general, it's just a really good statement that the US Women's National Team are making, whether they actually achieve it or not. They're kind of raising a lot of hell, to put it not so like politely, but like they're raising a lot of noise about the whole thing. Like they were in the White House a couple of weeks ago, Megan Rapinoe talking about equal pay. So whether they actually get a result from this through the court system, I think they very much have won the debate in the like public sphere. But again, US soccer have made so many gaffes like throughout this whole thing. They're only now starting to come around to being a bit better about how they approach the language and how they talk about equal pay within the US Women's National Team. So even those are really important lessons for everyone to learn.
It's funny how soccer administrators the world over don't seem to be able to just keep things fairly straightforward and do the right thing. It's funny how the sport attracts administrators of the quality that it does the world over. Kathleen, great stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Kathleen McNamee there, ESPN football writer, giving us some thoughts on Vera Powell's team and their two recent 1-0 defeats against much higher ranked teams in friendlies.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.